From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ed Morin with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, July 16th, 2020. Maine's case count for COVID-19 increased by 20 today, according to the State Center for Disease Control. Director Dr. Nirav Shah says that tally does not yet include numbers from an outbreak at Westbrook-based clothing manufacturer American Roots that's now under investigation.
Where there are a total right now of 11 cases of COVID-19 among employees of that facility.
The Maine CDC is also investigating outbreaks at Corsetti's restaurant in Westbrook and the Goodwill Distribution Center in Gorham. Three cases have been confirmed at each location. Midcoast Parkview Hospital in Brunswick announced today that it's opposed to Central Maine Healthcare's plan to open a standalone surgery center in Topsom. Midcoast CEO Lois Skillen says it's not needed because her organization built a surgical center adjacent to its hospital about a decade ago.
And when we look at the daily work in that surgical, ambulatory surgical department here, we're about at 50% capacity.
Skillen says the proposed surgical center, which is about 7 miles away, could siphon away patients and drive costs up because the hospital would have to raise prices to cover lost revenue. The CEO of Central Maine Healthcare says the purpose of the surgical center is not to compete, but to better serve its patients with lower-cost care. The surgical center requires state approval. A hearing on the matter is scheduled for next Wednesday. Several members of the legislature's Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee support repealing a state law that mandates police keep certain surveillance techniques secret. A current proposed bill would remove the provision of the state public records law prohibiting police agencies from publicly confirming or denying confidential intelligence and investigative records. Representative Charlotte Warren proposed the bill after a Maine Sunday Telegram article showed police were providing information on whether or not they use facial recognition technology and cell phone interceptors. Both techniques have been widely criticized by privacy advocates. In the weather, tonight clouds increase statewide, lows 50 to 59, showers tomorrow with isolated thunder. Two national companies with natural gas plants in Maine will dump nearly $6 million on television ads aimed at shoring up opposition to a high-profile transmission project benefiting Central Maine Power and Hydro-Quebec. Steve Missler reports.
The post-Labor Day television ad buy will be accompanied by a digital campaign and is designed to counter a combined $16.7 million in spending by CMP and Hydro-Quebec. The Anti-Corridor campaign is financed by Mainers for Local Power, a political action committee funded by Calpine and Vistra, Texas-based companies with natural gas plants in Westbrook and VZ, respectively. John Conradi, a spokesman for Mainers for Local Power, says there's no indication that the influence campaign by CMP and Hydro-Quebec is affecting what polls show as widespread opposition to the project.
But at the same time, Mainers for Local Power believes that the historic and really unprecedented degree of spending from these foreign companies trying to force through this project can't go unanswered.
The campaigns are designed to influence a November referendum that could block the transmission corridor, a project that would bring hydropower from Hydro-Quebec's dams through western Maine and down to Massachusetts. A Calpine spokesman recently told Maine Public Radio that that slug of electricity into the regional grid would suppress electricity prices enough to hurt the company's bottom line. John Breed, director of CMP's Clean Energy Matters PAC, says the anti-corridor ad buy shows just how much fossil fuel companies like Calpine and Vistra are threatened by the project. Breed would not discuss his PAC's extensive polling to gauge public opinion of the project, but he says the size of the ad buy suggests anti-corridor opponents are worried about what they see in their own surveys.
This time and time again has proven to be a good deal for Maine, from lower electricity bills to less pollution to now direct discounted power for the states. It is a good deal for Maine.
A digital ad by Mainers for Local Power asserts that the project will primarily benefit the foreign owners of CMP and Hydro-Quebec. CMP is owned by Avangrid, a subsidiary of the Spanish company Iberdrola. The sole shareholder of Hydro-Québec is the government of Quebec. Hydro-Québec's PAC has spent more than $6 million on the referendum, while CMP's PAC, Clean Energy Matters, has spent more than $10.6 million. The involvement by Hydro-Québec has raised questions about a loophole in Maine election law that does not restrict foreign entities from contributing to ballot committees. Federal law bars contributions and expenditures from foreign nationals, but only in elections involving candidates, not referenda. And efforts to plug the loophole stalled when the Maine legislature adjourned early this spring because of the coronavirus pandemic. The spending by the pro-corridor PACs has already eclipsed the roughly $10 million spent by backers of a casino referendum in 2017. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Leaders of both parties in the legislature are at odds over calling themselves into a special session next month to deal with hundreds of bills left on the table when they adjourned in March due to the spread of COVID-19. As Mal Leary reports, Republicans want the session to focus only on the issues related to the pandemic.
To call themselves into a special session, the state constitution requires the agreement of a majority of members of the political parties. All the Democrats have voted for a session, but Republican leaders say that a poll conducted by party staff shows nearly all of their members are opposed.
I knew damn well all along that they were just playing partisan politics. It, you know, came to fruition this morning.
Senate President Troy Jackson says that prior to adjournment in March, all 10 leaders of the legislature signed off on the emergency powers legislation that ceded most of the pandemic response decisions to Governor Janet Mills. And he says they also agreed that other unfinished business could be dealt with later in a special session. But GOP leaders say that's not how they remember the agreement. House Republican floor leader Kathleen Dillingham says a special session should be limited to pandemic-related issues and not try to consider the hundreds of bills in committee. She says it's Jackson who's playing partisan politics.
He's having a little bit of a tantrum because we didn't respond in the way that he wanted us to.
Dillingham says Republicans want to focus on urgent problems such as filling an unexpected hole in the state budget after revenues are reprojected at the end of the month. And she says lawmakers should have a role in crafting pandemic response policies that are now being decided solely by Governor Mills.
We're not at the table. We don't understand the decision-making. We don't understand the data that's being used behind the decisions that are coming forward through executive orders, that absolutely the legislature should be part of that.
Dillingham says lawmakers are being flooded with calls from the public asking about some of the decisions Mills has implemented by executive order, just as the limit on gatherings to no more than 50 people. But Senate President Troy Jackson says by refusing to work on unfinished business, Republican leaders and their caucuses are not doing their job.
I am beyond myself that they're going to call themselves leaders when they're on one hand telling people that they want to come back and do the hard work for the people of the state of Maine in an awful time. And on the other hand, they're turning around and tell their members to not vote to come in. It's hypocritical.
As the partisan wrangling continues, the only way there may be a special session is if the governor herself calls one. So far, she has stayed out of the debate. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Several blind and visually impaired voters have filed a federal lawsuit over their inability to independently mark paper absentee ballots in Maine. The four plaintiffs are alleging that the lack of accommodations violates the Federal Americans with Disabilities Act and the Maine Human Rights Act. And as Susan Sharon reports, they're asking for a remedy before the November 3rd general election.
One of the plaintiffs climbed Mount Katahdin with her service dog. Another is a professor and an expert in assistive technology. One was the first blind graduate of the University of Maine School of Law, with a distinguished career in state government. And the fourth serves on several boards to better the lives of people with disabilities.
They're all productive, civic-minded people who are regular voters who simply want to be able to vote privately and independently.
Kristen Aiello is an attorney with Disability Rights Maine who filed the lawsuit against the Maine Secretary of State's office and several city clerks on behalf of the four Maine residents. Aiello says their desire to vote absentee has been exacerbated by the new coronavirus pandemic. Three of them have underlying medical conditions that put them at high risk if they contract COVID-19. And while Governor Janet Mills issued an emergency order that expanded the absentee voting program to encourage all registered voters to safely vote from home via absentee ballot, Aiello says her clients can't do that.
The issue here is that in Maine, the only way you can vote absentee is by paper ballot. There's no electronic alternative available as there is in other states. So people who want to vote absentee receive a paper ballot in the mail, and they have to be able to discern, the wording on the paper and know where to sign and so on. If you're blind, you can't do those things, and so you need an alternative.
Other states do offer technology that allows voters with disabilities to fill out and return absentee ballots electronically. They include Maryland, New York, Delaware, and Michigan. And sometimes this has resulted from similar lawsuits. According to the complaint, Michigan voluntarily entered into a consent decree in May mandating that it, quote, acquire a remote, accessible vote-by-mail system that allows voters with print disabilities to vote electronically. Aiello says this can easily be done with computer software, similar to the system used for service members overseas.
The plaintiffs in this case have JAWS screen reader. That means that when they get a document on their computer at home with their own software, they can then read the ballot from their software on their computer.
Kristen Mazinski of the Maine Secretary of State's office declined to comment on the pending lawsuit, which was filed July 15th. But Mazinski says there is an accessible voting system available for any voter who wants to use it at polling places across the state.
And it allows you to mark a ballot independently using means other than pen and paper. It can be used by those who are unable to hear, unable to see, unable to physically mark a ballot.
And, says Mazinski, it can be fed into a tabulator or hand-counted, just like all the other ballots. The only stipulation is that, unlike an absentee ballot, which can be filled out ahead of time and from a person's own home, this method can only be used at a polling place on Election Day. Kristen Aiello says that's a problem for her clients who can't drive, don't want to use public transportation during the pandemic, or who don't feel safe at the polls on Election Day. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
The Governor's Economic Recovery Committee is recommending that $1.1 billion be spent to deal with the economic slowdown caused by the coronavirus pandemic in Maine. In a new report, the committee proposes investments in stabilizing Maine employers and investing in infrastructure. It also calls for spending to support Maine people through investments in childcare, education, housing, equal access for immigrant workers, and public health. The report also concludes that any plan for economic recovery in Maine will fail without a robust, sustained public health system. The committee says some funding may be available through the Federal CARES Act or bond issues approved by voters this November. The report also points to an urgent need for further federal stimulus efforts. Hannaford will stop selling tobacco products this fall. The grocery store chain will phase out tobacco products in stores across the Northeast, including 63 stores in Maine, with specific timelines determined on a store-by-store basis. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And join us tomorrow for Maine Calling at 1 and a program on Good Summer Reads. I'm Ed Moritz.